Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing a little Week 4 Primer Edition here. Start off with Washington at Atlanta. So Washington won to a two-point favorite there on the road. So that's, I think, an interesting one in terms of like a couple teams that probably haven't played up to expectations so far. So Heinicke, Matt Ryan, 17 and 19 in terms of quarterbacks. It's 40 to 30%. Again, be careful with your 40 to 30% in terms of start rate. Be careful with that because that's assuming a lot of non-superflex. So they're probably, you know, if you're playing superflex, it's going to be up higher than that. Those guys are starter range guys. I guess could be an interesting game. I don't think I think Atlanta's probably played worse than expectation. Washington's played worse than expectation, certainly on defense. Gibson. Right in the running back 1-2 range there, 90% start rate. He's running back 11, so I'd expect him to be in lineups, barring some extreme roster construction. Mike Davis, 40% in terms of start rate, running back 26. So again, he's more on that flex range or so. It's a decent home number with a game that I don't think is going to get totally out of hand going the other way. So I kind of like that for Davis anyways there. And then you look, Ridley is up at 96%, McLaurin 94%. So you feel pretty good about both of those guys. I'm not scared of pretty much either of these defenses, so I think that's worth really noting at this point. And Atlanta's and Washington's defense got beaten up, so surprisingly. Cordarrelle Patterson, notably 32. In terms of wide receiver rank, he's at a 56% start rate. And again, I think he's like he's absolutely in flex consideration at this point. Logan Thomas, tight end 6. Kyle Pitts, tight end 8 on the week. So again, I think they're probably in there as well, barring some sort of extreme roster construction, they're probably in your starting lineups. Chicago and Detroit next up, and yeah, Detroit is going to be a road dog here. 3-point favorite for Chicago at home. 42-point total. So that's going to be one of the lowest of the week. There's a couple other ones here sort of in the range. Indy and Miami, for example, is in that range. The Giants and the Saints are in that range. But that gives you an idea. It's a pretty low number here. Low expectation in terms of points being scored. I don't have a ton of faith in. I'll say this: if Justin Fields is going to get himself established, this seems like a good game because I don't think Detroit's defense is very good. I'm not particularly scared of the Bears either at this point. I think Goff's like good enough to support some fantasy viability. Goff 24th in terms of start. In terms of start rate rank, Fields down at 32nd. So again, way down there. Again, I would expect that to come up a little bit higher because you got some duplicative numbers there, and that hasn't totally moved yet towards a totally efficient market there at the bottom there. So just be I would probably want to see it before it happens. I think it's the overall takeaway there. DeAndre Swift, I'm curious when ADP starts coming out for the month. I'm suspecting that DeAndre Swift is going to be extremely, extremely, extremely high at the position. So I think he could push for running back 1 status at the position. Would just be a hunch based on some of the stuff. And again, we could sort of debate the quality of the sample. But considering some of the information going into that sample, I think that it could be pretty high. So we'll see there how that ultimately unfolds. So Swift right now is basically 90% start rate. Again, hard to see him not being in lineups. Running back 12. When you look down, David Montgomery, he's further down at the position. He's further up at the position. Running back 10. So 92% start rate there. So it's kind of a get your guys in type situation. Jamal Williams, again, he's right around the running back 2-3 turn. So that's flex viable, flex consideration there, 29th. I think Detroit's probably playing better than we expected too. So it's a road deal, so you don't necessarily love that for underdog running backs, but I don't think this is a game that gets away from Detroit. And even if Detroit's not very good, I don't think this is a one that's going to where Chicago really has the ability to make them pay. Speaking of make them pay, Allen Robinson hasn't been doing that. Wide receiver 25, he's basically two-thirds of lineups. So it's falling. I mean, I think he's one that you go test the waters on. Here's a question that I have. How much different are Davante Adams and Allen Robinson going to be a year from now? Let's assume that they both have a change of quarterback or a change of, for Adams, that it's either he's leaving Green Bay, Rodgers is leaving Green Bay, there's some sort of issue there, and whether he's a franchise tag guy or whatever the situation is, it's going to be a lesser situation. And Allen Robinson is probably going to be able to pick his destination in free agency. What's the odds that they're that much different in cost? Again, I don't know if I necessarily want to ride that all the way out, but I think it's going to be an interesting pivot situation as we sort of come down the pike here for these two guys. I think getting a cheap share of Robinson on a rebound makes some sense. So again, maybe not necessarily start him in the immediate term, but I think hunting for him in sort of the rebound scenario, I think makes some sense. So he's 25th. Again, not much you're doing at the receiver position for Detroit. That's kind of the deal there. When you look at tight end position, up to tight end 3 in terms of start rate for TJ Hockenson. Again, so you really like him being in lineups naturally. Komet down, wide receiver 27. So it's further down the line. Again, he's probably not in lineups at present. Komet is playing ahead of Jimmy Graham, but it's only playing about 70% of the snap routes that he's running. So again, what's probably a tough situation ultimately, I have some concerns there. And we'll want to see him break out before we really trust him. If you're in a two tight end situation or you're struggling, like, I get it. You just sort of throw some volume out there and just hope. But that's kind of what we're doing at this point with him until we see something more. Tennessee and the Jets. Tennessee is going to be an interesting one. They're going to be without Julio and without A.J. Brown. So it's going to be an interesting dilemma there with their offense, sort of how that's going to work. About a touchdown road favorite against the Jets. I think there's going to be like a 240-pound running back that's going to have something to say about how they look. Sort of be my inclination. Maybe Firkser gets some work, that sort of thing. I'm not sure I have a great bet here outside of Derrick Henry. And maybe you just, you roll out Ryan Tannehill and say, listen, it's going to work. That could be an approach, and I'm not necessarily sure who the beneficiary is going to be, but it's somehow going to work. One thing that we see too is some of the analytics, the NFL analytics community, or maybe more the betting analytics community, has really talked about is that the wide receivers don't really move the line all that much. So when they're out, the line doesn't really or shouldn't really move. And if you sort of take that to its logical end, like maybe you don't necessarily worry too much about the quarterback position as a result. So sort of keep that in mind as well. It's something that I think pops up in discussion every now and again that we see. So that would be the inclination that I would have. If I had to pick someone, I think to benefit, again, I'm probably not starting anyone, but just look back the past, the past couple of weeks here in terms of routes run. Chester Rogers has run the most routes outside of Julio and AJ Brown. He's run 44. Past two games. Nick Westerbrook Inkine has run 32 routes the past couple weeks. So that's really where you're looking at. And it looks like getting a full week of practice here out of Anthony Firkser as well. So hopefully, that's desperation, too tight end, not a ton of competition, that sort of thing right now. He hasn't really done much this year, but sort of that's the line of what you're looking at. For the Jets, again, I don't think Tennessee's offense or defense is particularly good, and there's going to be a home underdog. So when you sort of look at that, you're like, okay, like that could be a situation where like Corey Davis might actually be kind of interesting. So looks like Jameson Crowder is probably going to play as well. Was a full participant in practice this on He was a limited full. So limited on Wednesday, limited on Thursday, and full participant on Friday. Tyler Croft, same schedule. Elijah Moore out with a concussion. So I think this is probably going to be a – it looks like Denzel Mims might be active too. So I don't think you're going to get anywhere near practice playing him, but we'll be on the lookout for that. And just to see if he has anything to offer, maybe, you know, rehab him for a trade or something like that. I'm just surprised that they haven't gotten like a conditional pick for him based off the residual of his draft stock. So that would be one. Again, I'm probably staying away from you know, the quarterback situation outside of just pure desperation here. I want to see Wilson do it a little bit before we get super, super crazy. You know, Derrick Henry, top start rate over at MFL. I don't feel good about anyone in their running game. I mean, he's really probably the only start I feel comfortable with. I don't feel any good about anyone in the Jets running game, given they're an underdog and it's a totally unclear situation. So, all right, moving on here to more fertile territory for the fantasy scoring. We've got Cleveland and Minnesota. High number here in terms of 51.5. It's at Minnesota. I think both of these teams can put it together in terms of putting numbers on the board. Kirk Cousins having a really good season. And yeah, I mean, I think this could be a situation where you're starting a lot of guys. Baker's going to be fascinating for a lot of reasons, like as the season goes along, to see where he sort of lands at the position and what he sort of does on his own. He's 18th in terms of start rate this week. Cousins 13th. So I think that's fair. Again, I have liked Cousins for a while. I've sort of beaten this drum. I don't really care. I'm not a moralist in terms of caring about, you know, how much he contributes to winning of his NFL team. I want him to win for my fantasy team, and he does a pretty good job doing that. So, all right, looking here as well. It looks like Dalvin Cook should be good to go after missing last week in a glorious, glorious spot start. We are getting him back. And it looks like he's going to be back and ready to go. He did go limited. So that's usually a pretty good indication he's ready to go. I don't have much concern about that. Tyler Conklin, DNP, limited, full participant. So he's ready to go, not listed on the final injury report. I feel good about getting him in the lineup. Adam Thielen, DNP early in the week. But that was just a... you know, like a veteran rest day type deal. So you feel pretty good across the board there at the position with the skilled players for Minnesota. And, you know, when you look down the line here, I think for, you know, Dalvin Cook is going to be currently he's at 19. I think that's probably going to go up. I would expect that to go way up, actually, because you're just going to see him, you know, people get him in a lineup sort of as the week rolls around here. Jefferson, 6th. Thielen up there at 9th. So, again, two top 10 guys at the position. And then for tight end, again, listen, Conklin's going to be one of those guys that could be absolutely a safe league's delight. He is 18th in terms of start rate. I mean, who do you feel better about, him or like Dalton Schultz, him or Dawson Knox? Like, I kind of feel better about Conklin. There's just not that much competition, right? We kind of know what this is, a fixed universe for their passing game. And I think it's a pretty interesting one. And, you know, you look for a Logan Thomas type, just aggregating role. And he absolutely fits the bill. So looking at Cleveland here, again, this is getting a little bit of beaten down here in terms of some of the injury stuff. You've got Jarvis Landry, but it looks like, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. limited full. So feel good to go with him. I mean, if you're going to a 29% target share on his first game back, like, it's a scary situation in a good way. Like, this is really interesting in terms of, like, hey, could Odell Beckham Jr. be back? Like, that's a good indication that he's back. And how long does that go? How much does it hold? Is the overall total volume enough to sort of make a huge, huge difference? I'm not sure, but I know at 29% target share, there's not a ton of guys walking around that can do that. And, you know, in one game sample, we could say, oh, you know, maybe. But as you sort of get up there, if he can continue that, like that could be pretty interesting to watch. So I'm going to be compelled to sort of tune into that one, just because I'm really interested to see. Again, he's an all timer in terms of the start to his career. It's gone off the rails, but I still think that's there. Again, it's the ultimate volume. The ultimate volume is the thing that concerns me. 30% market share in almost any offense will make a difference. So we'll see how that holds up. And again, we'll watch Landry as he comes back. But I feel pretty good about him in this one. Like, give it a go. Give it a go. And then at tight end, I mean, you basically have Austin Hooper at 17. David Joku at 35. Again, so you're getting much, Hooper's like a 36% start rate. Joku's about 10. So not a ton of love there. Again, I sort of wonder if this, as this goes along, if the tight end does get a little bit more volume, if Hooper just keeps going up in terms of some value as we get, we've got Landry, you're sort of looking for other places. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see that. I think that's a trend to watch going forward. Chubb, running back 4, feel fine about it. Hunt, running back 17. Honestly, feel fine about that too. So looking good here for the offense. I expect this one to be a pretty entertaining, and I think there's a lot of stuff to watch for. I think it's just a really interesting one in terms of in terms of watching and storylines. Like, it's a really interesting game. Turning next to the Colts and the Miami Dolphins. This one is in Miami. The line's down about 3 points in terms of over-under since it opened. Miami, a home favorite. I think this one's interesting because, like, if you get Fuller back and some of these guys, like, it'd be interesting. You got some offensive line problems going on here. I want to see Fuller break out. Like, that's what I want to see. I'm not sure how convinced we are it's going to happen. So I think we'll be watching this one probably with a little bit less, with a little bit less intensity, if you will, about the interest level of it. Anyways, there is some injuries here to the center. Michael Dieter out. He's their center. It looks like the rest of the offensive line looks decent. Some injuries here in terms of some defensive backs here for the Colts. Kwity Paye, their pass rusher at defensive end. So maybe they can get, it looks like they're going to get Will Fuller back. Maybe that's an interesting one. And I'm not sure how much you trust this offense in total. Will Fuller's one of those ones you got to kind of capitalize when he's healthy, because he hasn't been healthy all that often, but I'm not sure how much we trust him with Brissett at quarterback, so we'll see. This might be one, to break ties against him. He's down at, like, in the wide receiver 6 range of the start rates at the position. Mike Gesicki, wide receiver 12. Tight end 12. I'm not really trusting any of the running back situation, honestly. It's Gaskin is 24. Again, from a start rate and from a confidence level, I'm just not sure I feel all that confident in him. I'll just, for example, guys later on than him that I feel just more comfortable about their role. Jacobs, if healthy, Mike Davis, Daryl Henderson, if healthy. Heck, I think I might even feel better about Javonte Williams. Jamal Williams for sure. So you just sort of start getting into there. Like, I already feel better about those guys. And behind him are the starting running back for the Raiders, almost no matter who it is. If Jacobs is out, which doesn't look like it is, he's behind Gaskin. Like, that should be flipped. Like, him and between Jacobs and Barber right now, you're looking at about 75% start rate. Again, those are both going to be up above Gaskin. Whoever it is should be anyways. Tyson Williams, like, I feel better about a lot of other people than Gaskin at this point. So I just don't really trust that offense very much at all. In terms of Indianapolis, like, I don't, this could be a bloodbath for the eyes, this game. So Wentz is 28 in terms of the start rate. I think Taylor is due for a bounce back. He's 14th in terms of start rate this week, so you're probably going to start him. but I'm not sure how great we feel about it. I do think Pittman's coming along. So he's at 29 in terms of start rate. I think he is progressing in terms of both volume and all that. I think that's a really interesting one as we sort of go forward. And then at the tight end position for the Colts, we're looking for, you know, we're just going to continue to watch the Jack Doyle situation here. He was a limited participant in practice on Friday after DNP, and then he goes limited. So maybe he is a game time decision type scenario, so be paying attention to that. They play the early game at 1 o'clock, so that's one we're definitely going to be watching for. So Doyle's activity at the 11:30 inactive declaration deadline, if you will, and then or the roster, the 53-man roster down to active roster designation there. So Quentin Nelson out again. So your Braden Smith is out. So you got some offensive line problems here. We'll sort of see how that all works out. Be watching for Jonathan Taylor's actually limited all week. So I think he's going to play. Carson Wentz limited all week. Looks like he's going to play as well. I would say if there's one thing that I'm doing, I am adding some Jordan Wilkins into my portfolio just because it looks like there's moving on from Marlon Mack in some way, shape, or form. When that is, not sure. It doesn't look like he's drawn a terribly large amount of interest, but that's one I think we're definitely going to watch for in terms of if it's a Wilkins situation. I think that could be interesting. All right, Carolina and Dallas, and I'm expecting this one to be very interesting. And it's been a Carolina being really good on defense type of thing. They haven't played anybody. Now they're going to get this Dallas offense. I mean, look, Dak's a go. It's no mystery here. Dak, you're playing Dak. It's a 51.5 point spread. You're playing Dak. You're playing Zeke. So Dak is the ninth in terms of start rate. I mean, I'm not going to go that low. Like he's in lineups. Zeke is seventh, 96.5%, coming off a pretty good game. I have questions about the Pollard role, but the market really likes Zeke in terms of Pollard's at 27.4%. So I think you're really leaning towards Zeke and thinking, everything backs up. I think you have maybe some long-term questions about Zeke, but this might set up for a little stretch of some reclamation of value after a rough start, and then you could potentially exit if you want. But I like this game. They're a home favorite. I mean, I kind of like Zeke. A big game here. Pollard was a DNP on Thursday of this past week, but is good to go now. They're looking pretty good in terms of injuries, all told. No real mystery there in terms of their injury report or anything like that. It's defensive side, but other than that, no real mysteries in terms of the offense. Again, you're waiting for Gallup to come back and all that stuff, but we'll see ultimately what impact that has. You've got Lamb at 13, Cooper at 19 in terms of start rate, so both way up there. And then at the tight end position, Dalton Schultz 15th in terms of start rate. So again, you feel like, hey, that's sort of on the fringe there. Jarwin at 30. So, and Schultz could be a potential flex play in the event that you're playing like a tight end premium, something like that, or tight end two type of situation. Sam Darnold, quarterback 16 so far. I will say I don't buy him yet. That's what I'm going to say. I'm just not super confident yet that he's, again, they've gotten a really nice schedule. Let's see this play out. I'm really waiting the prior on him being not very good. Heavy right now before I'm making any deals. Chuba Hubbard, 20th in terms of start rates. So that's up above like Chase Edmonds, for example. That's above Melvin Gordon. I think we could probably debate that one a little bit in terms of him being a above Melvin Gordon and what's going to be, you know, basically a pick 'em at home for Denver. So you feel pretty good about that, where this game could get away from Carolina a little bit, you know. So you kind of wonder with the rookie too, what's the ultimate role going to be? That would be someone I'd watch for, you know. And then the Mike Davis one as well. You get some of the other guys we mentioned before in the prior season up above them, or in the prior in the prior teams they're up above them. Again, I think he's on probably the flex radar more than I'd say I'm going to put him over, you know, some of the right running back two type options. At the receiver position for Carolina, you are looking Terrace Marshall full practice all week, and everyone else should be good to go. So again, it's Robbie Anderson's been a disappointment. I think you got to sort of weigh that into effect as in a contract year too. Nonetheless, DJ Moore 14th in terms of start rate, so you feel decent about that one. And then, you know, Robbie Anderson's down at 48th. Again, with a high total, you could say, hey, this is maybe a game where they got to throw it quite a bit. We'll sort of see how that works out. Tommy Tremble is probably going to be a name to watch. Some people were asking about him in terms of, I did a Ask Me Anything on Twitter, and some people were asking about him, and it's not terribly surprising. I think you're going to see his name percolate up a little bit, but he's down at in the 30s in terms of start rate so far. So I wouldn't probably slot him in there with the post Dan Arnold trade at this point, but he's one I think we're definitely going to be watching for. All right, Giants and Saints, and this is an interesting one, that Giants are basically a touchdown underdog on the road against the Saints. Really low total, so we'll watch for that. Again, Daniel Jones is playing really well. I don't know if this is a situation where you necessarily want to run him out a ton, just because low total and all that stuff, 27%. Again, if he's your quarterback too, you don't have other options, like you feel kind of fine doing it, like just do it. But I do think that there's maybe, you know, if you've got a couple of similarly situated guys to Daniel Jones, there's probably better options. Saquon Barkley right in the running back 1-2 cusp there. By the way, starting less than DeAndre Swift. So again, I think DeAndre Swift's up for a pretty big rise in terms of his start rate. I think we're going to see that. So just keep that in mind. No one really near lineups here for the Giants in terms of receivers. Best you're looking at is Kenny Galladay and sort of the wide receiver 50 range at the position. So don't really love that, all told. Evan Ingram, tight end 19. So we'll see how that ends up going here over the next few weeks as he sort of integrates back into the offense, but you don't really feel great about that either. All right, the Saints here. And, you know, what are we going to get from Jameis? Quarterback 21. So, again, firmly in the quarterback 2 type range. Again, that's with Daniel Jones, Teddy Bridgewater, sort of in that range there. I've actually tried to pivot from him to Daniel Jones in a couple spots where I have him, and it hasn't been successful. So people are like, no, I like Daniel Jones more than James. Really? That's happening? But everyone else says they don't like that. So must be a very specific group of people that really like Daniel Jones, and they all have him. Kamara up at running back 2. So he's a go. And then you get basically no one else at the running back position, really, or the wide receiver position either. Tight end position, like it's basically Kamara, and if you want to go with Winston, that's kind of it with their team. And you know, we'll see here as this thing goes along. You're gonna maybe integrate Michael Thomas back and all that stuff, but you don't really feel good about anyone. Adam Troutman, a disappointment so far. All right, turning next to your Kansas City and Philly game. I can't believe this is only a 7-point game. I honestly, I can't believe that. Kansas City's a 7-point road favorite. I'm surprised it's that low. Really high point total, 54 right now, some 54.5, some 55, so in that range. I think I'm pretty bullish on Kansas City ultimately in this game. Patrick Mahomes, quarterback 1 overall in terms of his start rate. Edwards-Helaire at the running back position, running back 16. Again, I think he's trending up in terms of where he's at. You're getting Tyreek Hill at wide receiver 3, and then Mecole Hardman at 68. So that kind of tells you the split story there. Travis Kelce is at tight end 1, which shouldn't be a ton of surprise. Ultimately, I mean, this is kind of a fixed story. You kind of know what the offense is going to look like in terms of their outlook, and there's not really a ton of injury concerns or anything like that for Kansas City. So that one feels pretty good. You look over to Philly, and again, no, you don't have any real fantasy relevant decisions to make in terms of injury reports or anything like that. So you kind of know what this situation is going to be. Jalen Hurts, quarterback 11. Listen, home underdog. You kind of like that as a formula for success. And then you just wonder what that's going to do to Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders, 18th in terms of start rate. Don't feel good about that, given he had 2 carries. And if you watched Eli Manning's double bird, he represented how many carries Miles Sanders had. So you can always remember that Miles Sanders had that many, because that's how many birds were flying on Eli's middle fingers, which was pretty incredible to see on live television. All right, Devontae Smith, wide receiver 45. Jalen Reagor, wide receiver 62. So, again, don't feel great about any of that, really. And then it's a quagmire at tight end. Goddard, 11th. I saw him have a drop last week. It was pretty disappointing. Zach Ertz, 22. So this is kind of like a Jalen Hurts. This kind of feels like Tennessee a little bit, like Jalen Hurts, and I'm not sure I really trust anyone else, but I kind of trust the quarterback situation in this particular spot because of this particular situation. All right, Houston at the Bills. And so the Bills are a 17.5-point favorite. The over-under is 47. So if you sort of do the math on that, it's a lot of implied point total for the Bills, not a lot for Houston. So again, I Davis Mills is interesting sort of long term as like a, hey, how many starts does he get? Like I'm just sort of curious on what happens. I don't have particularly high hopes, but I'm just interested to see how it ultimately plays out. I'm not really sure I really want to start anyone here except Brandon Cooks. I think that's the deal. I don't feel good about the running back position at all. And I think Brandon Cooks is the answer at wide receiver. Brandon Cooks, they're going to throw it a lot. I think it's some extraordinarily high amount of targets that Davis Mills has thrown to Brandon Cooks. And you figure this is going to be a game where they are going to throw the ball. You just, all right, like we're just going to take all volumes, good volume. It's like any news is good news when you're trying to do like PR. Like that's kind of what you're going with. Jordan Akins, tight end 43. Again, I don't trust the backup running back situation at all in Houston. I don't trust their alignment. Again, this is kind of Mark Ingram and then everybody else. I don't really trust it. Danny Amendola on IR, and of course out for Deshaun Watson. We'll see here. Maybe there's a trade coming. I'll be interested to see how that ultimate unfolds. All right, the Bills here, Josh Allen, quarterback 2. Feel confident about that one in this matchup. Is a big time home favorite. What I'm watching for is like, hey, what's the Singletary and Moss situation look like? Moss, running back 23. Singletary, running back 32. I will say, I think Moss has gotten the benefit of being massively favored and ahead in these past couple weeks. This is another one of those situations. We'll see how that ultimately unfolds going forward. This does feel like a Moss game. So if you're going to play a Buffalo running back, this feels like a Moss game in terms of him just salting away work later in the game. Wide receiver 4 for Diggs. You're playing him. 31 for Beasley. 35 for Emmanuel Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders getting a ton of the air yards too, so I think that's a really interesting one. It's kind of a cram it in game, and you wonder in the the stack situation in terms of DFS is to say you play everyone for the Bills and you run it back with Cooks. Like, it seems like an interesting way to potentially go about it. Dawson Knox, 13th in terms of his start rate rank. And I'm firmly on the curious side of Dawson Knox. Like, I think it's a really interesting situation with him going forward here. Potential breakout. Cautiously optimistic. All right, that's the 1 o'clock slate. 4 o'clock slate, Arizona at the Rams. We'll start here first with Arizona. And continue to watch the Kyler Murray development, right? I'm really interested in this. Kelvin Beachum out with rib injury. Eno Benjamin injured a hamstring midweek here. So we'll watch for, you know, maybe Jonathan Ward's active. So that's one to watch for. Full practices from DeAndre Hopkins after missing the past 2 weeks. I'm actually working on a piece for between Analytics and Dynasty releases. I'm working on a little project, and DeAndre Hopkins features prominently in some of the decisions that I made that I'm writing about. So I'll be interested to see the reaction to that one as we refresh some old content. So he's a go. Like, feel good about that. No real other injuries here for Arizona to monitor. Again, as I mentioned, Kyler Murray up at the top, quarterback 3. So feel pretty good there. Edmonds is running back 22. And then, you know, this does feel like an Edmonds game over a Connor game. Connor 42. Connor's much more of the sort of running threat. Again, I guess a better way to put that is his profile is much more running centric. They are about split. He's running a little bit more than Edmonds is, but they are about split at the position. Edmonds a huge advantage at the with the routes, basically like 3-1 essentially. So Hopkins wide receiver 17 on the week. Well, that's 92%. So again, that's not one you're too super concerned about. Rondale Moore 60, AJ Green 63. Again, I like AJ Green more than 23rd and more than 23% in terms of start rate. I think it should be massively up. Like, who do you feel better about, AJ Green and his target rate or Robbie Anderson? Devontae Parker. They just keep going up. Like, it's AJ Green. So I think AJ Green should be a lot higher than he presently is. And probably can feel comfortable in like the 3-4 range. Like, honestly, like that's kind of how he's played. And then Max Williams, 28. So again, I think he's more of a like a safe leagues flex special. Like, yeah, it feels pretty good to potentially go that route. All right, Matthew Stafford, 10th at the position, home favorite, quarterback 10. I feel pretty confident putting him in lineups. It's interesting because like there's some overlap between like him, Cousins, you know, Wilson, for example, and you're sort of looking at I've got three of them, or I got like Rodgers in a spot where I've got Stafford and Cousins. It's interesting sort of that Stafford Cousins angle, because I mean, I think the difference is it's pretty steep in terms of 76% start rate up there for Stafford, down to in the 50s for Cousins. So that's a steep difference, but I would note like linearly, it's not that far away in terms of just the straight rank. It's a steeper decline between those two. Probably lean Stafford, again, the home favorite angle in a really high total game, and an offense that I really, really trust is frankly pretty nice. And, you know, Minnesota is a home dog. So you can sort of, you know, do with that too. Like, there's worse situations for sure with a really high total, but I feel better about Stafford than I do Cousins this week. The running back position, it looks like this is going to be a Daryl Henderson return game. That's what Sean McVay has indicated that he will play, which is good to see here. He went limited, full. So good to see on that front. Otherwise, no real concerns. It looks like Tutu Atwell missed practice during the week with a was sick. Doesn't look like it was COVID, just an illness. But it was a full participant on Friday, so we'll see how that, you know, what the situation is there. It looks like he probably will play. I don't know how much of a fantasy impact that'll have, but for what that's worth. When you look at the starting rate, Darrell Henderson 27th, so I'd expect that maybe goes up too. Again, you get some of those guys that are sort of in above there that are maybe like half starters because we're not sure of situation. So you figure he's going to be right on the running back 2-3 type hinge range of the position. Cooper Kupp, wide receiver 1 in terms of start rate this week, 99.5. Wild. 24 for Woods. Again, I think Woods is probably one that you can potentially go out and acquire. So I'd be looking to potentially venture that route. Maybe he'll feature prominently in a future trade edition. And then nothing really else after that. Van Jefferson down to 89. I don't take the bait on DeSean Jackson, by the way. I'm just not super confident in that. Tight end 10 for Higbee. So I feel pretty good about that. This is a game where I feel confident, like, hey, start the guys. Like, this could be a high-scoring game. I will note that there is something to be said about there's a statistical trend. I don't know how sticky it is, but I was listening to a betting podcast this week. It's kind of like the any edge we can get, I like the edge. And they were discussing that there's a significant tilt towards the under in divisional games, so this might qualify for that. Okay, Seattle and San Francisco. San Francisco, a 2.5 home favorite. And, man, the quarterback situation, like, I don't know. It's Jimmy Garoppolo's throwing hospital balls is the phrase that I've heard, and I think it's kind of amazing. It's sad, but amazing nonetheless. We'll see how he is. You know, I honestly, he's quarterback 23. You might trust him more than that. So, again, I'm not getting into, like, specific start rankings here, but, like, he could be one you feel comfortable with in quarterback 2 type range, given the total and the defense that he's playing, which isn't very good. Elijah Mitchell looks like he's going to be back limited practice all week. Limited practice for Kittle on Friday with a calf injury, so be careful there. That might look close to being a game time decision. They are home, so we're probably not going to get like advanced information on him, like, hey, not traveling or anything like that. So be careful. Watch for Schefter tweets and all those good things. Yeah, we're going to be watching Ayuk and all that story. So unsure here in terms of the start rate about what it's going to be for Mitchell. Like, him and Sermon are both in like the mid-30s. We'll see what sort of information we get out that sorts that out. Debo Samuel at the receiver position, wide receiver 20. Feels like probably should be higher than that. And then you after that, Brandon Ayuk 44. That feels about right. Maybe even should probably be lower than that. And then Sanu is like 120 some odd, so he's probably out of consideration for most lineups. Kittle's at 4 again, so he's ahead of Hockenson, but just be careful on that injury situation. And maybe it's Ross Dwelly in the event of a Kittle inactive. Like, that could be a potential spot start. Not a bad situation in a home favorite game to start a tight end in a Shanahan offense if Kittle is hurt. So just keep the Kittle situation in mind, because Ross Dwelly, potential you know, streamer if you need him, you know, this week. Okay, turning next to the Baltimore Ravens at the Denver Broncos, basically a pick 'em. And it's a 44-45 point spread. I'm still interested to. I'm still cautious on Teddy Bridgewater. Just still cautious on him, because I'm not a full believer yet in the that he's taken this big jump. So we'll watch there. He's quarterback 20. I kind of like some of the guys after him a little bit better too. Like, Daniel Jones is interesting. You know. Some of the other guys down there I think are a little bit more interesting than he might be in this game. Looks like Melvin Gordon is a limited participant all week, probably going to play. So just bear that in mind, but it looks like he's going to play considering his practice, him on the field practice all week. That's typically a he's going to play type pattern. Running back 21, 28 for Javonte Williams. So we'll see if that number splits up a little bit. Again, I like Gordon firmly over Javonte Williams at present for the for the starting situation just because he's being treated as a starter. Cortland Sutton, wide receiver 26. Tim Patrick, 40. So if you need someone available out there, Tim Patrick might be one that you could potentially add. You know, if he's available, he's probably not in any sort of deeper formats. And then after that, it's like Deonta Spencer, and you know, that's pretty much where you're at in terms of the position. Noah Fant's really interesting at tight end 9 in terms of start rate so far. Like, I think he's one that can be a big time beneficiary of some of the injuries at the wide receiver position. Okay, the Baltimore Ravens, it looks like with Lamar, it looks like he's going to play. That's the report out there, as of recording, that he will play. And there is some concern about him early in the week with 2 DMPs, but he's a full participant on Friday. Should be good to go. It's the only real major news story to watch out of that game. Out of the Ravens side of that game, in terms of injuries. So he's 6 in terms of start rate. At the running back position, Tyson Williams is at 40. Latavius Murray is at 45. So the logo's still alive and well. And then at the receiver position, you have Marquise Brown, 27th. Sammy Watkins, 72nd. And then Devin Duvernay, Rashad Bateman, like, is on the potential to be, he might be active this week. So that's one thing that I'd potentially watch for. I know he began practicing. I'm not sure if he's going to play or not. I wouldn't have him anywhere near a lineup if he was. I do think you probably underrate the value of Sammy Watkins a little bit by making him like a wide receiver 7. He's probably better than that. Mark Andrews, tight end 5. He is, fine to be in lineups. All right, that's an interesting game of tight end matchups, actually, Baltimore and Denver, two guys that we kind of like. All right, Pittsburgh at Green Bay. This feels like a game that there's just absolutely no way Pittsburgh keeps it close. I don't do betting, but this one just feels like a game that just Pittsburgh is not going to be able to score with Green Bay. Looks like Davante Adams is okay after that hell shot that he took. Again, it appeared to me that they played an unconscious person. So it appeared to me that he was unconscious and returned to the game. He says it was basically really bad wind knocked out of him. He's fine. It looks like he's passed all the tests. So what do I know? Aaron Rodgers, quarterback 7. That's what we do know. He's pretty good. Feel confident about that statement. And should be a good to go here this week. Aaron Jones was actually on, limited practice schedule all week. Limited. He's not listed with any injury status, so he should be good to go. A.J. Dillon was a limited after being a full participant on Wednesday. So they don't list him with a status either. So I don't know what the deal with that was, he's not listed as injured on the report, so he should be good to go as well. Marquez Valdes-Scantling injured this week. So he's one that if he's injured, he's got a hamstring injury. Like, I think you can probably cut him outside of like 30-plus man. Like, there's no one out there. Like, if there's anything on the waiver wire to potentially move towards, like, you can probably cut him. And he's fringe rosterable as it is. And if there's... he's dealing with a hamstring injury, didn't practice at all. So it's going to be probably this week, at least maybe like questionable next week. Again, you don't trust him as it is. So I'm probably just willing to move on if he's not going to be viable here going forward. Not sure there's a clear beneficiary. Like, the market likes Alan Lazard at like 3% start rate, and that's basically it after Davante Adams. So maybe Randall Cobb. I don't know. I don't think there's a clear beneficiary of that, so I'm probably just going to stay away. And then when you look at Green Bay, you have Tanyan as the tight end. So, and he's at about a 50% start rate. He's at tight end 14. So falling a little bit after being, basically a tight end 1 in prior weeks. This is one where you could potentially see him be a little bit more involved than he has been. All right, and then over at Pittsburgh, we have Roethlisberger basically bringing up the rear of the position in terms of quarterback start rate, 18%. He's at 27th at the position. You do have some injuries here with the wide receiver position. Chase Claypool looks like he goes full practice, limited practice, DNP. That's the wrong direction to be going. So just be careful and cautious on that. Probably going to be will not play. So I would just watch that. That's a bad scenario. Looks like a midweek injury that he's probably going to miss some time from. Deontay Johnson, full participant Thursday and Friday. He's good to go. Probably going to cram him in lineups. And then Juju, DNP limited full. So he should be ready to go as well. The running back position, Najee Harris, is basically totally immune from any sort of concern about game script, 95% start rate. He's at running back 8. Again, it's just a ton of routes too. So I think he's really insulated, which is interesting. Pittsburgh, you know, Claypool is at 30 in terms of his rank, in terms of start rate. Now that will go down, so just bear that in mind. Deontay Johnson is active, and he's going to be active, so that should go up as well. 41, 49 in terms of start rate for Juju Smith-Schuster. Both of those guys should trend up fairly aggressively, I would imagine, here over the next couple of days. And then at the tight end position, basically Ebron's just a total mess, which is frankly disappointing given some reliance on him in both prior years and current years. Just not exactly what we love. Freiermuth is at 23. Some wishful thinking there calling him Pitts. 21% start rate. And then Ebron all the way down at 7%. So hopefully he has a big breakout. That's what we're hoping for. But not particularly optimistic. Again, he's been really bad on a route run basis too. So hopefully some of that stuff will just smooth out. We're being super, super optimistic. All right, next one up is the Sunday night game. I'm not going to talk a ton about that. Gronkowski is out. Brady's a start. I'm not trusting the running backs. I'm trusting the receivers. I think Brate's going to be an interesting one in terms of watching how routes are dispersed. And if you need a guy at tight end, I think Brate is an interesting one to potentially hit up this week. When you look at the routes run in the past 2 weeks, for example, it's 39-12 in favor of Brate over OJ Howard. So we'll see there in terms of how that allocates. But I feel much more confident in Cameron Brate, basically 2 or 3 to 1 in routes run over these past weeks compared to OJ Howard. So I'll take that as a sign and potentially play him in the tight end 2 type range. Again, he might be flex viable and super in safe leagues. So keep that in mind with that team. New England, this is a high total in terms of 49. I'm not sure how great I feel with that defense, a rookie quarterback, 29th for Mac Jones. Again, that kind of feels about right. You figure to be in this game, like, they kind of need to pound it a little bit with Damian Harris, 34th in terms of start rate. I have added some James White where he was injured, and I stashed him on IR. He was like not on IR yet, so he got kind of tangled up in some waiver cuts. And then I added him back in a couple spots where I cut him, and then some other spots where he was cut, I added him as well. Again, I have, like, it's a 1% bet, but it's a free 1% bet, and I like free bets. The wide receiver position for the Patriots, again, it's not anything we're particularly interested in. Jacoby Myers, 42. Nelson Aguilar, 53. Kendrick Bourne, 73. So, again, that's like, I don't know. I think if I was going to take anyone, I'd take Jacoby Myers, but I don't feel good about the position at all. I'm just going to tune in to watch because I think it's going to be interesting. Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, 20 and 21 at the position start rate. I think I like Hunter Henry just because he's running some more routes than Jonnu Smith is. Last but not least, we got a good one. This is a really interesting and good game with implications too. Vegas and the Chargers. Given some of the primetime games we see, like, this is a really interesting one. Vegas and the Chargers. I'm bullish on the idea that we're going to get Josh Jacobs back. which would be really nice to see. This is a game where I think Jacobs could potentially be a contributor too. So again, it's you're a road dog, but it's a game where like you figure scoring is going to be high. They don't really try to defend the run with any sort of devotion, I guess is the right word. You know, they're hell-bent on defending the back end, which is kind of what you want to do, right? It is better as a defense to give up 4.5 yards per carry than to give up 8 yards per passing attempt, right? Like, eight is bigger than 4.5 by a lot. And, you know, that's basically the decision they make, which is a wise one. You know, it's three is greater than two by a lot. It's that type of thing in basketball, translated to football. So I think they're pretty smart and savvy in terms of what they do. That in turn leads to, hey, we get some running backs against the Chargers that can run. So we'll take it. So I think Jacobs, if assuming he plays, which it looks like he's going to, he's questionable, limited practices in Thursday, Friday, which is only days you're reporting because you're playing on Monday. Right? Feel good about playing him, honestly. And it's right in the running back too. I think cram him in. Maybe not the highest upside, right? If you got someone in like the top 12 or something, you're deciding, probably break that way. But again, I like Jacobs. I feel pretty comfortable about him in this particular week. Don't feel great about Kenyon Drake. Again, he's basically offers very little role in terms of the rushing game. It's basically entirely in the passing game. And we've seen Barber ahead of him in the passing game. That kind of tells you what you need to know about him. Drake, 18% start rate at present. All right. Turning to the receiver position, I'm cautiously optimistic here on Henry Ruggs going forward. He is a 56% start rate at wide receiver 33. Wide receiver 43 for Hunter Renfro. He's at a 40% start rate. And then Bryan Edwards down at wide receiver 69 with about a 20% start rate. So I think that's the right ordering of it. I'm pretty interested in watching Ruggs. I think I'm rooting for him. I think it could be an interesting, like, later on, you know, second, maybe third year full breakout. Be really interesting here with his profile to see that happen. It's uncommon and typically unlikely, but it's interesting. And Derek Carr right in the mid-range here at the quarterback two range, quarterback 15 overall. Again, you sort of look at that, you're like, hey, do you like him or Tannehill? I kind of trust Carr more than Tannehill just because the weapons are intact. Again, we had the discussion about Tannehill earlier, but I think I like Carr ultimately a little bit better. Okay, and then you're looking for the Chargers. Again, Herbert. The market really loves Herbert. Like the fan, it's the football analyst community really likes Herbert. So it gives me some optimism. Again, it feels like a little bit more bigger media too. So we know we can have some discomfort there in terms of narratives can just perpetuate themselves. Eckler, just great. Eckler, running back three on the week. So I got a couple spots where I am really excited to get Eckler in. Again, I'm not sure there's a clear injury situation behind Eckler at this point. It's Justin Jackson, probably in Larry Roundtree. If I did that, I guess I would take Larry Roundtree. But it feels like a force sort of arm behind my back, you know, popping out a shoulder dislocation as you're trying to get me to commit to someone in that particular backfield. And then you have the receivers here. You're getting a really a breakout season from Mike Williams, and it's a really good one. I'm still fading it, but it's a really good season so far. He's a top 10 wide receiver, top 12 in terms of his start rate, 95%, top 7 for Keenan Allen at 96.8, so basically 97%. I saw Mike Williams traded for Keenan Allen. Like, give me the, we are dropping toddlers and dropping infants really and taking the Keenan Allen side of that. Like, that's the level of urgency of that smash. Last but not least here, Jared Cook, near and dear to our heart, tight end 16. So interestingly, right around the decision line at the position, I'm interested in starting him this week in a game that feels kind of like, hey, just play everybody. Feels like that kind of game. So some good games this week, some interesting stuff, especially in prime time. Of course, the Brady thing's going to be a big deal. I will be excited for Monday Night Football as well. All right, that'll be it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.